ways, I think it's a timely thing that we're discussing here in 2 Timothy. But I always have to have something for here. I go to the Pacific Island Mission. And one thing about the mission, they're good folks there. Are they perfect? No. But at least they have a standard, try to use the authorized book, conservative hymns. You know, there's always some kind of, I like that. I mean, some missions I go to, anything goes, and I just, it's hard to serve or partake where there's so much behind there. You know what I'm saying? You know? But, you know, they let people come in there. They actually have three sermons a day. I figure if you're going to come there, get a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you're going to have some kind of Bible teaching. I like that, besides their Bible classes. And so I'm there. I come in there for a long time. But I found this there. Someone that came in. This is one of their a brochure for somebody that came in there. And the reason I mentioned it because we're in these last days. You should be able to look at somebody like this here and know the kind of hanky-panky going on in the church. You're invited to the house of prayer. Come and see. Go and tell. Now, they quote Luke 7:21-22. And let me just read it. And you can see, you know, first of all, remember the proper word of God while you divide him. Go and tell what you have seen and heard. What the blind see, the lame walk, lepers clean and deaf hear, and deaf are raised, the poor have gospel preached unto them. And I can see already, you know, that's kind of a lot of context. The Bible says, and in the same hour, many of our infirmities, of the infirmities and plagues and evil spirits unto them that were blind, he gave sight. And Jesus answered them, go your way and tell John what things he have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor, the gospel is preached unto them. And so here right away, I know you have a kind of a charismatic thought, because obviously this is the Lord talking to his people, and they inquired about John, because John was in jail, right? Right? And so this was an encouragement to John. And wherever you find the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the great healer. Amen? And now I believe the Lord healed me. So, you know, I believe in healing. I don't believe in healers. You understand? You know, a lot of times people take the slant from God's healing and put it on themselves. And they use the kind of, look here, I'm like Jesus. I know we are, you know, Christ in us, but we cannot, you know, do all these miracles. Now I got clients, and they try to talk to me about there. I go, let me ask you a question. I tell them, if you believe in all this, that's fine, Danny, do me a favor. How about we'll fly or take you to a hospital and bring your healer, and let's go to the hospital, and I want to see them heal things. And by the way, and if he does, I'll cover all the costs wherever we go to, no problem, not you pay. Let's go. I've never been taken up on that. So you're trying to put them, you know, it sounds good, but you want to kind of sticker shock them a little bit from the truth. Jesus loves you. And I guess it's true. You know, I have a sermon called The Little Cliche Is Not True. Like, Jesus loves everybody, and you're saved. Before, I have a whole thing of them. I go through all these cliches, and none of them are true, you know? You know, that's how I kind of shock people a little bit, you know? Welcome, brothers and sisters. House of Prayer invites you to a summer festival. Do you want to meet Jesus personally and have a new life? Well, amen, I'm for that. That's hopefully the new birth talking about. Do you want to experience? See, that experience, remember, you know? It's fact, faith, experience, right? They turn them things around a little bit, you know? Do you want to experience God's healing and deliverance? Do you want to experience breakthrough in your physical, emotional, financial, oh, and spirituality? That's last, you know? I mean, notice that's last. I mean, you can see where they're kind of going on there, you know? And I tell you, this is kind of a little dangerous because if you don't get healed, then you think, hey, God doesn't love me. See, it's real dangerous, real dangerous. Enjoy Jesus Christ together. Nothing is impossible in his hands. Well, he's not here physically. You didn't know that, right, folks? You will meet your friends at the witness who lives were transformed by God's to see God's miracles and signs and wonders. The signs and wonders. We will worship with God with praises, dancers, music, testimonies, skits, fellowship. Oh, and sermons are earned and again. I'm always putting the thing in the back there. You kind of wanted to, please come. The kingdom of God is near. repent and believe good news. No phone number, no website. I kind of went, you know, I looked at their address. The building looked like it was, let's say this. The building was completely closed in with no glass or no windows around it. Kind of like a strip club. They say that, you know, they're blocking in there. You know, you can't see what's going on the outside. I'm just telling you, that they can keep in there, come on in there, and wait, they brainwash you. I'm serious. Services are 12 noon on Wednesday. Who meets at 12 noon on Wednesday? 12 noon on Saturday, 12 noon on Sunday. It's probably a big rock thing. But, you know, they're coming in there. And that's all part of last days. To, you know, it all sounds good, but you see how there's truth mixed with a lot of false stuff. And it's getting more false and more false and more false. So, you know, got to be careful of that stuff. And depending where you are spiritually, you talk to somebody, you try to minister to them some way. And when you give somebody the truth, it's how they react and see how open they are. You get that. If they're like, oh, then, you know, why waste your time? But if they're open for some truth, hey, maybe get some in there that might help them out. Remember, the believer is trying to win the lost on one, with one sword here. And as saying, on the other sword, he's trying to disciple and change all the bad teaching out there. Think about that. So it's a winning and discipling or getting through all the bad teaching. It's a double-edged sword, you know? So, okay. Well, getting back to our 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're in the last days. I got some good things here I think you'll find to be interesting how relevant the scripture is today. It's actually alive. And last time we were talking about this, I left off here at despisers of those that were good. This is kind of a good spot because this is happening today. And I mentioned to you about David Stout that got hassled for just trying to, you know, a high school kid just trying to be a witness and a young little guy like that. And someone confronted him about, you know, homosexuality and how he tried to stand for it and are giving him a hard time spending for that. Ridiculous. Despiser of those that are good. And every time you find something like this, you have the Lord Jesus Christ as always an example. If we go to Luke chapter 13, there's one example. Luke chapter 13, verses number 14. This is Luke 13, verse 14 says, and the ruler of the synagogue, now by the way, the context is here, is he healed somebody. I mean, doing a good thing. I mean, he's doing a good work. But look at these rulers, the religious folks. They're the folks you have to be careful of. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. You know what that is? It's anger, resentment, provoke unfair treatment. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine that? Because they were doing something, the whole point is seeing this verse here, they're doing something and seeing something that they're not. And that rubs people the wrong way. You got to get that. When they know they ought to do something and not do it, it rubs them, it despisers, especially what despisers of them that are good. In Daniel 6:4 says, then the presidents and princes, those are his fellow, remember, he was like second ruler there, you know, there in Babylon, sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion or fault. They're looking for something. They're despisers of them that are good. Insomuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. See, could not stand it because they were wicked. That's always, if someone's despising you for being something, being righteous, it's because something's going on in them. That's pretty much always the case. And then the example I like here, I spent a little time here today, is Joseph in Genesis chapter 39 to 41. Let's go to there and look at that for a little bit. And we'll see how the scripture is just, how this stuff's still going on today. Genesis chapter 39, and verses 4 to 10. And it says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. It's talking about Potiphar. You know, remember he was taken out of his land. His brother sold him into slavery. And he served him. And he made him overseer over all his house and all that he had and put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not aught he had, save the bread which he had. And Joseph was a goodly person. See that? Is that there? Now God's making a real point this year. And well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph and said unto him, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, I like that she has no name. You never notice how the Lord has people in the Bible and gives them no name. They don't give him an actual name. And someone's kind of an honor, but just to call them his master's wife. What's her name? God didn't even care about that. That's sometimes about that. Just look at those sort of things, you know. Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had in my hands. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So there you are. You're throwing God in the mix now. You see that? Sometimes when you stand in there, just throw the Lord in there. Now, what the Lord does? Hey, you're bragging upon him. I'm going to get a little closer. You know, trying to stand righteous for your sake, but throw the Lord in there. I like when you put God in the mix. Oh, I like that. Bragging on me. Now you put me in the list, I'm going to stand a little closer to you. That's the same way to see, I'm a believer, a Christian. The Lord's going to say, now you're really kind of putting yourself out there a little bit. You know, I like that. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now, it's interesting here. Think of this here. Sometimes you got to read in between the line on some of these things. Here was Potiphar's wife. You know, he's out working. They called him here. He was called, let's see what they're calling him here. If I pull my verses out here, captain of the guard. So he obviously has some authority. He has some servants, resources. And here's his wife home. Probably had anything she wanted, servants. And notice how that Potiphar gave him the responsibility. Ain't that something? She probably wants responsibility. She had no responsibility. The idols of hands. So she's probably, the guy comes in the house and didn't trust her with anything, gave it all to him. You know, that's fuel in the fire. Think about this, you know. Hey, how about me? He didn't even know what he had except the bread he ate. There's obviously great trust, and this, I'm sure, is burning her up. You know what? Because he was something she was not. You see that, folks? That's they know. Hey, when Brother Mike came and saw me back in the 80s when I first got saved, we didn't have phones back then. I remember his hair was short and he had this goofy tie on right back in the 70s. And he's telling me, well, I found Jesus. And back then I go, I know what he has is probably good, but ain't for me yet. But I knew in my heart that something there was right. And what happens when you represent the Lord situation, she just knew that he had something right. He was a goodly person. And she couldn't stand it. And you know what? So what she used? She's trying to get him to sin against something that she had. Hey, the only thing you couldn't have was her. And God give credit to Joseph, young lad. He did not partake of that. A lot of times, a few decisions in your life could change your life. Look at Eve. A few words. Devil says, yea, hath God said. And question that, right? And you know what happened? She gave in and we're a big mess. Hey, lie with me. he resisted that. That's, hey, the guy gives the guy credit. And maybe not every day, but man, think about it, consistently. You go home, you get home, and you're thinking, how about that? You know, your mind starts to wonder, you know, consistent. No. That's why this story is here, because he represented the Lord, goodly person, and he refused to do it. She was, I'm sure, burning with absolute anger, trying to do this thing. You know, Potiphar was a working man, captain of the guard. His wife was home, no responsibility. Joseph was in charge of everything here. That's pretty good. And Potiphar trusted him. I'll bet you, honestly, that Potiphar and Joseph had kind of a good thing going. I mean, think about it. For you to trust your stuff with somebody, you got to like them and trust them. People do business who they like and they trust. Amen? I met someone in your house. Hey, no problem. I'll leave you here. If some guy don't come in your house, you know, I have a friend of mine, I don't trust his son, and he came to my house. I kind of hid things around that I wanted to see a little bit, you know. That, you know, I kind of kept an eye on the guy. I don't trust him. I trusted his dad, but he sent this grandson to my house, and I didn't trust him. I heard things about him. I'm keeping here. There's no way in the world I let him in my house alone. Say, oh, yeah, I'll be back later, right? So think about this here. So that just fried, and that's going on with us today, believers who stand for the Lord. Now, a few things are very interesting here. Look at this here. When they found out, what did Potiphar do? Now, get that guy. He tried to attack me and stuff. You know he didn't believe her. You get that, folks. She knew she was a rat. You know that, right? And what normally, probably had it killed. He's, you're a slave? Off with your head. He stuck him in jail. By the way, interesting is here. Do you know who was in charge of the jail? The captain of the guards. Did you know that? You know, that's Potiphar. I think so. Look at this here. So he kind of stuck him close by here. Called him captain of the guard here in Genesis 39, right? And Potiphar, officer Pharaoh, captain of the guard, title. And you have that same verse here in 40, verse 3. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard. Now, was that the captain of the guard of that place? No, they called it. There was a jailer there, different story. And then verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, that he served them. He kind of liked them and stuck them in probably over here. And I bet you Joseph had it somewhat nice, probably in jail. I wasn't beat up. He gave him some responsibility. And kind of, I think, this is my opinion, I think he kind of liked them. And Harry had a wicked wife, falsely accused. He was blessed in a house, went there, and like, oh man, I gotta, you know, I mean, he knew for God's sake he was blessed. But he could not have his wife over here. What's he gonna do? Get rid of his wife? I have a funny feeling she was probably tied into some political deal there, you know. You know how that all goes, political, probably one of the Egyptians' daughter, and couldn't get rid of her. I just kind of, my mind, I'm thinking this going on, right? You know? So, oh man, I'm stuck with this woman here, you know, who wants to sleep with my servants, and just call. I can see the thing going on. I mean, imagine living like that. That's all because you know why? Because Joseph was a goodly person. Wanted that something that she was not. They can't stand that thing. They can't stand that thing. Now let's go to Proverbs 7:21. Proverbs 7:21. It's kind of for younger folks or. Proverbs 7:21-23. It says here, with her mouth, much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through the liver, as a bird hasteth in the snare, and know it not that his first life. Right here, Joseph did a good thing here. That's why he's kind of known as a person that overcame the flesh. And a lot of times, you get tempted and darted, change your life. Sometimes, standing for what's good is really important, and the world wants to get you. I remember I was in the jail. I have hundreds of jail stories. And this is back years and years ago. I was in there, and it was a young kid. He was 18 at that time, and then for a year. At 17, He's telling me the story. I've heard a lot of stories. He tells some are true, some probably aren't. And he goes, hey, Tim, he's a believer. His Bible's all written up. And he goes, it was the summertime, nothing to do, idleness of hand. And his uncle goes, hey, man, we're going to rob this store, man. Hey, man, all you got to do is drive the car. No big deal, in and out. He'll give you half the money. You know, I could see a young 17-year-old punk, idleness of hand. You know, all you just drive the car, and we're done. And he's like, okay, just made a quick decision like that. You know why? And he did. And without knowing it, he went into that store to rob it. I don't know what it was, liquor store, whatever it was. And in walked in a police officer, and his uncle pulled out a gun and killed the guy. Killed him dead. And so in the law is, they got him too. You're just as guilty as by association. You're guilty too, murder. So his first trial was, would he be tried as a juvenile or adult? So they tried him as a, he's 17 years old between that there. They said they tried him as an adult. Now he got the adult thing. And then, so he had an adult. They put him in trial. He was in Cook County for a year and a half. In that period of time, he got saved. Without a doubt, he was saved. His Bible was written up. And he goes, and with this, I'm guilty. I did it. No problem. I feel sorry for the entire police officer. He had kids, family. You can clearly see he was transformed. And I'm whatever the Lord wants to do to me, what was me? That's a good attitude. That's not, you tell he was a prayer of heart. Well, they're going to either give him life sentence or they're going to kill him. Illinois liberals, they gave him life sentence. I remember him leaving, probably spend the rest of his life in jail. How about that? No wife, no kids, no grandkids, no home. I mean, all things that we, amen, made a decision here. It's like over here, like make a bad choice here. You know, didn't know it was like a, here was a formative physical need here in Proverbs. And with Joseph here, sometimes you make a decision like that. Boom, you're done. By the grace of God, you know, we didn't do some of that there, you know. So here you can see here that what happened here to Joseph, despiser to those that are good. Now, that's sometimes why it's difficult to get a good man saved. That's kind of an oxymoron. Some guy that's righteous, you know, all this life trying to, there's some real good people, honestly. They're good people. They're just lost, you know what I'm saying? And trying to get a good man saved can be difficult because they're hanging on to their self-righteousness. Those are some of the hardest people to witness to because, you know, because they're trying to live morally, righteously, and have morality, but they're difficult. I think I heard a story of Bob Hope. You know, Bob Hope is some of the older guys, right? Bob Hope. He would volunteer a lot of his time into the U.S. Militaries and put free shows on and everything. And I understand a preacher got into his dressing room one time and goes, Bob Hope, you got to get saved, you know, everything. And he literally came apart. He was mad because, you know why? All the good that I did, if I don't get to heaven, no one's going to heaven. You see that? He thinks that his good works are going to get him to heaven. And that's difficult sometimes. You know, you're hanging on to your good works and here's somebody telling you, and you know, that's why if you're a good person, they're not, you know, they'll get at you. But here, the opposite turned. Real important. And wicked people will cause the most trouble because they see the good and despise you. Joseph overcame the flesh. Obviously, Noah overcame the world, devil. And Job became the world. This happens many times when we're going on a street and witnessing. The hardest and biggest trouble I have aren't so much from the police anymore. They're kind of glad we're there. It's from fellow Christians. And they come by and they go, you're holding a sign or you're preaching, you know, in all the scripture. They get mad at you. And I always tell them, they say I'm doing it wrong. I say, I like the way I'm doing it wrong better than the way you're not doing it at all. You know, that's kind of always fries them a little bit, you know. Just tell them, oh, yeah, I like my way wrong better than you're not doing it at all. But without their spy, even believers, remember, this context is for saved people. They don't like you doing something that they know they should be doing. You get that? They know in their heart they should be doing it, and they have no ministry at all and are giving us a hard time. It's kind of sad. So despisers of them that are good. Okay, I'm moving along here. I have more, but we're going to try to get a few things on here. Next one here is traitors. Ah, very interesting. It's the only time this word appears in Scripture. Right here, traitors. And remember, these are people who violate the allegiance. Betrayers of several things. People think of betrayers of a country, but it's also one guilty of treason, who breaches trust, delivers his country to enemies, surrenders his troops. It's one who betrays his trust. And that could be country, friend, faith, Lord, or his word. Remember, the context of this here in 2 Timothy in verse 1 and 2, it's the last days, and it's people betraying spiritual things. But it's also in our country. I think 95% of our politicians should be tried for treason. I mean, if you really think about it, if you were straight about things, you know, the greatest example again is the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. That's why the Lord went through these things. So you read Paul's, his doctrine, you look back on Jesus Christ, he went through almost everything here. Out of 41 times the word betray, betrayed, betrayers, or betray, it shows up 38 times listed are against the Lord Jesus Christ. But there he is. I mean, he's the greatest example of having to deal with these things. And David was betrayed by some of his people, Joseph by his brother, Daniel by fellow leaders. We covered that. That's why it's right next to laid out those that aspire, those are good traitors. All the Jews, also the Jews betrayed, and obviously the biggest one is, if you hear a betrayer, is Judas Iscariot, right? I mean, I think I Google, who is the biggest betrayer out there or traitor? Judas Iscariot and Benedict Arnold. Those two come to your mind, right? And there it is. His own brethren, Jesus came for his people and they received him not. And that's happening today in the last days. Let's go to Acts over here. Acts verse 51. And look at Acts as we're transitioning here from Jew to Gentile. If you look at verse number 51, this clearly is Stephen. He's talking to the Jews, Israel, and he pick up 51, talking to his people. He's stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Do you always resist the Holy Ghost? As your fathers did, so do we. I guess him pointing those people out. I guess picture in mind him pointing at those leaders. Remember, to despise them was good. Traitors, some problem that. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And killed them, like they were saying. And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, that Jesus Christ, capital JW, of whom ye have been now and now the betrayers and murderers. You see it? And how interesting is that the Jews killed or allowed the Romans to kill their Savior. And they rejected him there. They rejected him in the last part of Acts 4, their second time. And they rejected him here. Three strikes, they're out, right? So temporarily God says, I'm done with you. They're betrayers. And since we're in the last days, many times it happens in the last days of the Old Testament, we liken in here, they're betrayers of believers. We get betrayers in our own church. Our own people are betraying us. In what? In their faith, the Lord, the word. How many children walk away? You feel like almost betrayed. You train them up, everything you know, right? That's just a characteristic of what's going on here. So don't be surprised if someone betrays you in some way. You have to kind of go through a little bit. Let me tell you a little story. When I got saved, I went to a Bible church. Back then, the Bible church was really solid. They were like almost like Bible believers church. My pastor believed the book cover to cover. And I had a little energy, a little zeal. I believed the book. And so I know them, but he's always trying to get me to do things. And I love that. You want to go to a nursing home? Yeah, I want to go to a nursing home. And I got a nursing home ministry still to this day, except for COVID. And I went witnessing for the pastor. for 3.5 years, I missed 2 days, and he's given me responsibility and Sunday school and things like that. I said, well, I'm got some responsibility. And he had a heart attack. My pastor had a heart attack. And when he was kind of getting through it, he goes, points to me, he goes, you, see Tim Doom over here? He's in charge of a pulp replacement. I mean, he's pointing me. I'm like, oh, I don't want the responsibility. I'm a young punk kid. Dark hair. I'm in my 20s. You know, give it somebody else. That's in my mind. I'm thinking, you know, yeah, Tim Duma, he's the guy. Because you know what, though? He knew I was solid, at least here. I wish I know what I know now back then, but he knew that I was going to budge somewhere. Because he's in charge. Like, oh, man, you know, that's in my mind, but I'll do it, you know. Well, let me tell you what happened. There were some older folks there, and we're trying to get, he was really bad, so we're trying to get a new pastor, small church. And so we wrote up things we're looking for a pastor, and they're interviewing people. Now, obviously, I'm sticking with the book. I didn't know much about Rightly Dividing back then as I do now, obviously, but I knew, hey, got the book. You got to have, you know, good preaching, good music, solid. And we're interviewing this one pastor, and one question we asked him is, if we called your old church and asked about you because you came from some other church, what would they say? And he shifted like this. I could tell you threw a rock down a dark alley and hit something. You know what I mean? You know? You know? So one of the guys called back at the church and, hey, what happened? So he's only gone a week. Well, you know, when we send investigators search him, we're hearing, you know, I'm like, and they're trying to be gentle, but like, man, whatever's going on. Well, he was doing, you know, they're trying to be gracious, but yet not give us a story. I'm like, hey, and plus he didn't believe the book. I was against him. I go, hey, you know, this is not a guy. You pick up, he just left a week ago, and he had time, whatever he was doing, he has time to heal from that and get things right, you know? But he had 5 kids and needed some dough, you know? Right, you know, filthy looker, you know? So, hey, we agree, brother, he's out. But one of the guys there, a controlling guy, he's like, hey, be friends a little bit. And so they're trying to bring him up again. I go, wait a minute here, you know? And then in between that, a guy from the Pacific Island Mission came over, and he preached exactly what I was thinking of. Stake with the King James Bible. And then they go, hey, Tim's right. We were sure to have this guy in. Whew, thank God, I'm thinking. Well, this is now what comes down betrayal. I was in the church here during a sermon, and they're having a business meeting during the sermon. I'm like, ain't that strange? Remember, I'm Polish. I'm slow. Sometimes I'm a little slow, you know? So I left. Well, I left. This guy came in and says, oh, we decided to call so-and-so. And I'm the guy in charge of the pulpit committee. That's me, you know? See what I'm saying, you know? And I didn't know that. So the people in church have no idea what's going behind the scenes. Oh, the guy came in. They must like him, blah, 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 you know? And I have no idea. So I come back and I'm like, what's going on here, you know? Oh, yeah, we're gonna call that guy. I mean, I had a little betrayal going on here. Kind of sad. I was gonna give you the whole story. They voted him in. A bunch of the shallow people all left. And he lasted about 9 months until all the money ran out, you know. The money, there's like 45 grand in the bank. That's a lot of money back in the late 80s, you know. You know, once that ran out, he bailed. And then, you know who became pastor? The controlling guy became pastor. But you know what though? You get hit like that. You know, why would a believer do something like that? Those are believers. You know what I mean? You know, hey, why would they do something like that? Hey, you know what though? We're still in the flesh. And it's this right here. They're traitors. You know, I mean, they're saved people. But they're doing things here that still ain't right. You get that, folks? So don't be surprised. Don't ever blame these things on the Lord. I mean, don't pastor talk about disappointment with God. Don't get disappointed with God. He still saved you. His book's still true. That's when you see these things here happening today. You know, just take note. A lot of young folks, and a lot of people fall away from that because they got offended or something happened in church where they had some trust and they felt they were betrayed. Get that? And over here, we need to help them, get them back, understanding these things. That's what our job is. You know, the Bible says we're in the business of reconciliation. Amen? And that's what we're about here. Okay, I'm out of time. Quickly, questions, comments, anything I covered here today? Okay, well, thank you very much for letting me partake a little bit here. I'm off for a few weeks, I believe, but we'll continue on here. Good things happening here. You see it, how close we are to the coming. We are so close. You can smell and taste. Amen. I mean, it's exciting. Honestly, I find it a little exciting. Amen. All right. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity to open up your word and still see these things that were written 2,000 years ago, Lord, or excuse me, yeah, 2,000 years ago, coming to life today. It's a living book. It's happening today. And you know what, though? You're coming back soon. Our redemption draw nigh. It's nice to see that, Father, but we need a tarry to come. So I pray, Lord, we can have these things be convictions in our hearts, protect against some of these things, and minister what we can. I pray for Brother Hoffman as he gets here and prepare him for what he would have to tell us. Prepare our hearts that we receive it and that we'd be changed, Father, and we'd be spoken to this morning, Father, and we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.